asked me, he said, what did you say? And he goes, you're a fucking disgrace. And I just went, why? And he goes, because of the way you treated our Prime Minister.
A Listener Production.
This podcast is being recorded on Gadigal land. We pay our respects to the traditional custodians of this country and elders past, present. We extend our respect to any First Nations, Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islander people joining us today. Grace Tames here with the Nightmare Fuel, and I am terrified and excited to hear it because I've heard a summary of it, but I haven't heard the content. So, Grace, paint a picture for us.
Well, in my job, mm-hmm. I often address large audiences. Mm-hmm. Usually I give a speech, then I might do Q&A with an interviewer. And sometimes afterwards there's an opportunity for audience members to ask questions. Now these questions are vetted.
Okay.
For good reason.
Because of this story.
Yes.
Okay. So, because I also do live shows, I've never opened up the floor to audience members because I do fear about what could come out. And again, the topics that I speak about aren't anywhere near as hectic as the ones that you speak about or as intense or as important. So I would be horrified to allow that to happen. It's very brave from you initially to even allow it.
Yeah, I think it's really important, especially because it's very thought-provoking content and it's not always that people are going to take the opportunity to pursue shock value. Mm-hmm. But if any context is the context for it, it's a breeding ground for
your little petri dish.
Yeah.
Okay. So you're doing a show. Where were you doing a show?
I was in Hobart. It was
Are you from Hobart or Launceston?
I am. I'm from Hobart. Launceston. There's nothing wrong with Launceston. There's nothing wrong with Launceston.
I'm taking Mum to Tasmania. I got her for Christmas. We've never gone to Tasmania, so we're going to Tasmania. So
you better come and say hello.
I will, and I'll ask you. Mum would love that, actually. I'll ask you tips and stuff as well. All I want to do is see wombats.
Go to Maria Island.
Okay, thanks, Queen. Yep. Anyway, we'll discuss this later. Okay, yeah, so yeah. You're in Hobart. You're in your hometown of all places.
Yeah.
Okay.
There's an audience of about 500 people, and look, I understand where this person was coming from. It was an audience of mostly nurses and midwives, mm-hmm. but I was asked in front of about 500 people at the end of this presentation that involved me essentially sharing details of my story that are pretty confronting and then also talking to an interviewer. I was asked, did I ever worry while I was being sexually abused as a child, that I would fall pregnant, and what would I have done with the baby?
Fucking way.
In front of 500 people.
Are you fucking joking?
No. And I, being autistic, and my personal experience of autism is that I am like, well, I've been asked this question. I now need to
answer
the question
as it is asked.
At face value.
Holy shit.
So without...
Did the room go, ooh?
I think so much so that the instinct that a lot of people probably felt to intercept was actually overtaken by the sheer weight of the discomfort, which was almost creating a sort of paralysis, a mass paralysis.
I mean, even just hearing this story retold, I'm sitting here going, jaw on floor.
Because there's like a, you know, just a big mass of disbelief that you kind of have to work your way through. Like, did person really ask that question?
And also the way it was framed was it was a 1-2.
Yeah.
It was an uppercut and then
a haymaker.
I understand boxing terminology. And me going, so true, Queen, so true. But the way that, because also the audience would have thought, oh, that's a bad question, the initial question, and then the add-on, then part B of the question makes it so much worse than you could even possibly imagine. So what was your...
What was my answer?
Yeah. No, what was your response? Did you...
I answered the question.
You answered the question.
I answered it from memory. I mean, I've never forgotten it. I just sort of talked through my thought process at the time without giving a definitive answer. Because how can you answer that question? But it was really tough. That's the kind of thing that you work out internally. You work out
At your own pace as well.
At your own pace, on your own terms, in private.
Not in front of 500 people at a speaking event. Holy fucking shit. Why the fuck would anyone think that's okay? Have you had people ask you similar things? Not similar to that.
Oh,
but
yeah.
Even in when they meet you.
Oh, yeah. It's really interesting what it's like entering public life and having your image communicated to people through all these different filters, all these different prisms that are distorted constantly by different agendas that are often competing and conflicting. You know, any individual's perception of a particular person or thing begins when that person or thing enters their lens.
Yes.
You know, there's a lot of context that people just don't have, and I wouldn't expect them to have either. But instead of asking me, they tell me.
They tell you how
they're sort of like projection, this projection of me that's been assembled by sound bites and random images, a lot of which have been taken at times in my life where I have been battling extreme pain. It's only been recently that I've had a diagnosis of, you know, advanced endometriosis that was able to be picked up on a scan, which again means that it's advanced, you know, and that explains a lot of my chronic pain that I just learned to disassociate from, which eventually takes a toll. There's pictures of me that were taken at the second time I was addressing the National Press Club where I'd broken my collarbone 9 days before and wasn't on any painkillers. And so, like, a lot of my facial contortions were caused by that. I was feeling as though there was, like, a ripping, a burn, like, burning ropes being torn inside of my, around my clavicle. You know, so there's this weird mix of little snippets that have been sort of knitted together haphazardly to create an image, like a Frankenstein-esque image of me. Same, the same goes for you. 100%. It's all just like, it's like a paper mache.
And you also don't know what they've seen, what they haven't seen.
Yes.
So you have to kind of then guess what their image of you is, because they speak to you, some people speak to you like they're your best friend because of parasocial relationships. And that can be great. That can be great in some instances when you get a lovely, warm reception to someone that you don't know. But it's like when you offer up your vulnerability, they then feel a right to your vulnerability. They feel like they can take whatever part
you become,
they want.
You become, in the eyes of some people and of significant portions of the media, public property.
Yes. And you're a caricature of a person. You aren't actually a multifaceted.
Well, they deliberately make you a caricature, like I said, to fit into that adversarial binary that the media runs on. You are pre-cast in an exaggerated role in this pantomime of grand theatre that is the Australian media landscape.
That is the Australian media landscape. Yeah, it's interesting when they come up to you and they have a certain image of you in their minds that isn't quite
well, because the rest of the projection, because they get part of it is based on the limited content that they've seen.
Yeah.
And then often people don't realise that the rest of the image that they form is actually just their
themselves.
Imagination and what they desire you to be.
Yes.
So that fills in a portion. And that looks different for every single person.
And what are other notable interactions you've had? Any other awful ones?
I have only had one negative in-person reaction.
Really?
Yes. It was here in Sydney. I was just about to go and record a podcast about incest.
Okay.
So, you know, mood was
on.
I was there with my friend. I call her my Sydney mother, Tanya, who runs the No Laughing Matter podcast as part of the Corrie Lee Foundation. She is a staunch advocate. She's been doing this work, trying to raise awareness of child sexual abuse that happens in families for, I don't know how long, decades. I was with her. And then I was with a neuropsychologist who had written this content that was essentially academia translated in layman's terms to give context for the podcast. It was about incest and it was about the consequences, you know, the lifelong impacts of incest specifically on on children and on adult survivors. So, you know, we were all prepping for that. We were outside of the recording studio, which was in an office building that shared shared its rooms with a number of other organizations. And the elevators opened up and a couple of guys walked past carrying six packs of beer. One of them was about maybe 6'4", in his 60s, clocked me and just leaned over. And I'm about 6 foot.
I'm about six foot seven. So actually, I towered over him. I stood up and I went, I'm Grace Tang.
I'm about five foot three.
Yeah. And me, I'm 6'9". So he had no chance.
I'm actually two people. Yeah. So this 6 foot four guy like leans over and just goes, you're a fucking disgrace.
What? What?
And Tanya and Jan, the neuropsychologist, thought that he must have been joking. And I was like, oh, no, no, I think he meant it. And he'd already rounded the corner. So I just poked my head around the corner and looked down the hallway. And I just went, excuse me, sir, what did you say? And he goes, you're a fucking disgrace. And I just went, why? And he goes, because of the way you treated our prime minister. And immediately I was like, I was thinking of like my friend Moz, who I went running with this morning. Like, you know, I was like, what this guy has done to refugees,
yeah,
exploiting asylum seekers for political gain. I mean, exploiting democracy, basically treating it as a plaything, completely changing the shape of politics forever. What I did to him, I frowned at him. I didn't actually do anything to him.
Yeah, it was actually an absence of an action. You did not smile.
Yeah, I didn't do anything.
But Grace, you've got to know that that's fucked up.
He just
come on, babe. That really hurt him. I mean, it obviously did hurt him enough to speak about it.
And I just went, oh. And I went, do you know what he's done? Mm. And the guy was just like, this is a free country. I can say what I want. Fuck you.
But you aren't allowed to not smile. But he can come and verbally abuse someone.
Exactly. The irony of that man thinking that it is appropriate to swear and be aggressive, but I can't frown.
Because that's actually worse. Because it's our Lord and Saviour, our Prime Minister, Scott Morrison. So have some respect, Grace.
Just goes to show.
No, it's fine. I'm actually, now that I've thought about it, I'm on his side.
Yeah, me too, actually.
It makes complete sense what he did. What a fucking loser. Also, punishing you with 10 times worse of what he is claiming that you did is very interesting. The irony of that, sure.
Yeah.
Hypocrisy from middle-aged men. Thanks, Grace, for coming on.
Thanks for having me.
You're the best. Plug shit. What are you plugging right now? Are you touring, just socials? What do you want to plug? Anything?
I'm really bad at this.
All right, go to Grace's socials. Tame Punk.
Hopefully I'm going to be co-authoring a book with a computer scientist, an associate professor of computer science, I should say, Campbell Wilson, who's at Monash University, as part of the ALEX Lab, which stands for AI for Law Enforcement and Community Safety. And we want to write a book about the landscape of child sexual abuse with technology. So tech-enabled child sexual abuse and how to fight back.
Amazing. That's incredible.
So stay tuned. You can actually publicly vote for our talk that we want to give at South by Southwest on the topic.
Oh, yes. I saw this. There's the voting up for...
Yeah.
Okay, let's put that in the show notes then. That's a perfect plug. See, you are good at this.
I mean, I had to think about it because I'm like, oh, I don't know. Just, you know, read as much information as you can about child sexual abuse and how to stop it.
We love it. Thank you, Grace.
Just do that. Thank you.
You're the best.
A Listener Production.